a snow day and it's very exciting. If you could grab your coffee and a treat and make your way to a table. We have a packed agenda and a little bit of a late start thanks to the weather. Great. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Judy Shiprock. I am Multnomah County Commissioner from District Number 3, and I am the co-chair of LPSC, the Local Public Safety Coordinating Council. And on behalf of LPSC, we are very proud to be presenting and hosting this What Works conference on leveraging healthcare transformation to improve behavioral health and public safety outcomes. Our contributing sponsors, the Oregon Criminal Justice Commission, which joins all the LPSCs statewide for this conference, the Oregon Community Corrections Directors Association, and the Association of Oregon Counties, who have made generous financial contributions to this this conference today, as well as to the Portland Citizens Crime Commission, who have provided their support as well. Today is not just another What Works conference. Today is a very ambitious day where we're going to address the problem of two strained systems, lack of communication and coordination, and the all too frequent reactive stance towards psychiatric crisis that results in a default use of high cost, poor outcome public spending on incarceration and emergency room care. The most opportunity to make change that we have seen really ever is being made available to us in healthcare transformation. And already we have positive changes through alignment and integration, information sharing and evidence-based models, peer support services, and efforts to expand the safety net of available services. We're not going to solve everything today, but it's a beginning. And I'm so happy to see all of you here today. It's an opportunity for you to make connections, for you to listen to experts, and for you to share your own ideas. So thank you again for joining us, and my best wishes to all of you for a very productive and enjoyable day. And it is my privilege now to introduce Amanda Marshall, who is our U.S. Attorney for the District of Oregon. Amanda.
Thank you, Judy. I am Amanda Marshall, your U.S. attorney, and I want to start out by thanking LPSC very much for asking me to be able to present to you this morning. I'm a little flustered, having been in my car for 2.5 hours driving from McMinnville, and my kids have no school, so there's that whole drama to deal with, too. I'm a person very close to experiencing a mental health crisis. But I will say that this is an issue that's really near and dear to my heart for several reasons. One is I started my career as a lawyer, as a deputy DA, so I have that perspective from law enforcement in a small rural county about how do you respond to folks with mental health crisis. And I've seen the damage that's done to people who suffer from mental illness when the criminal justice system is their only response. And I've seen the struggles of deputy sheriffs and strapped police agencies who are trying to respond to folks without the expertise, training, tools, or resources to adequately respond to these people in the community. I left that job and I went to work for the Oregon Department of Justice, where I represented DHS, child welfare, over a period of 10 years. So I saw from the child welfare perspective what happens to children and families when there aren't community-based resources that keep people fully integrated in communities with the treatment they need to be able to go out and be productive members of not only their own own family, but of society at large. So I come to you with that perspective. As a U.S. attorney, I've had the opportunity over the past 2 years to be intimately involved in three investigations and two lawsuits involving the state of Oregon and the Portland Police Bureau that really center around these issues of mental health and mental health treatment. One involving the Oregon Health Authority, one involving Department of Human Services, and then of course the Portland Police Bureau findings about excessive use of force in their interactions with people who are suffering from mental health crisis. So again, thank you so much for asking me to make remarks here today. What I want to say to you fundamentally is that people who suffer from mental illness should not be locked up in jails and institutions, isolated from society, and exposed to conditions and circumstances that increase their risk of experiencing a mental health crisis. For too long, this state has relied on police, jails, and others in the criminal justice system in lieu of evidence-based practices and therapeutic interventions to treat Oregonians who are living with mental illness. Serving individuals with mental illness in the most integrated, community-based systems of care to meet each individual's needs is not only required by the ADA, but community-based care is proven to be more effective and less costly than institutional-based care. In 2010, my office, along with the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division, began an investigation of the state under Title II of the ADA. We met with numerous stakeholders, including advocates, providers, law enforcement, peer support specialists, and what we found was that there is a resounding consensus across these disciplines that what we need is an array of community-based support services for those living with serious mental illness. And that is absolutely what we need in order to establish crisis intervention that's effective. A little more than a year ago, at the request of Governor Kitzhaber, we gave the state a blueprint of what should be included in an array of community services to assist the state in achieving success in their healthcare transformation. It is up to the state to ensure that money is allocated to fund this array of community-based services to fix our broken and fragmented mental health care delivery system. We will not close our investigation until the outcomes show real differences are being made in areas like rates of police-initiated mental holds, jail stays, and access to services and integrated housing options. Historically, Oregonians with serious and persistent mental illness have entered the state's mental health system through the expensive and segregate settings such as inpatient psychiatric facilities and jails. Individuals experiencing mental health crisis in Oregon have not had adequate resources such as mobile crisis teams, crisis walk-in or drop-off centers, and crisis apartments throughout the state. Instead, law enforcement has been often the first responder, and the officers have had few, if any, options other than to take individuals to jail or emergency rooms, resulting in a rotating door in and out of the criminal justice system. And while I commend well-meaning jurists and others who seek to fill the gaps and address this broken system through innovative approaches like mental health court, we have to create a system that understands that lawyers, judges, and jailers and police are not the people with the proper training or expertise to adequately address this complex system. By simply putting a Band-Aid on this problem, we are potentially unintentionally designing a system that is not, in fact, based on best practices. This fragmented system has taken individuals away from their homes and communities, not only placing them in expensive settings, but also perpetrating unwarranted assumptions that such individuals are incapable or unworthy of participation in community life. The blueprint that my office has provided the state will save the state money and save communities. The plan has been stamped with approval by providers, advocates, law enforcement, peer support specialists, and others. It was created not only by lawyers, because, you know, we can never create anything very well by ourselves, but by nationally renowned experts with experience helping to make systems changes in and out of collaboration with state officials. Key features of the plan include community-based support services such as assertive community treatment teams, intensive case management, peer support services, and supported employment that are designed to keep people out of crisis in the community. Stable, supported housing, the foundation around which individuals recover from mental illness. Early intervention services, which while the state system has had success identifying and treating young adults and preventing their illness from degenerating them to a point where they experience mental health crisis, they have not been able to get this program out into communities across Oregon in a way that is effective and across the board, leaving many young people to have the same experience of being treated through the ERs, hospitals, and jails. Quality management that works proactively to identify service gaps and ensure adequate capacity of and access to necessary services, because we have to be able to identify what, where, and how communities provide services and address the gaps. And finally, the state must maximize any available Medicaid matching funds. Notably, the state hospitals are funded largely by state general funds, whereas many community-based supports and services are eligible for Medicaid match. The state has got to move its system to a community-based system with an adequate array of services and release its reliance on state-funded institutions, which are draining Oregon of our resources and harming our communities. Ultimately, I am optimistic that this process will improve the lives of thousands of Oregonians living with mental illness. And I just want to leave you with this, because in the 2.5 hours I drove in from McMinnville, I was listening to OPB, so you know it's like the continuous loop. I got to hear everything twice. And the news this morning, for those of you who listened, I'm sure on any station, was all about either the weather or Nelson Mandela. And so I was moved really this morning by listening to and reflecting on the life of Nelson Mandela, you know, potentially one of the strongest civil rights leaders to live in my lifetime, who's left such a legacy. And I want to leave you with this quote that resonated to me today by Nelson Mandela. And it resonated to me both because I think it speaks to each of us in this room who are charged with taking leadership on addressing this issue of how do we get fully integrated mental health services into our communities, but it also addresses the lives of those who are suffering from mental illness, in that each of those people have value to us, and we are losing that value when we respond to them by institutionalizing them and putting them in jails and locking them up and exacerbating their crisis. And that is this: there is no passion to be found playing small in settling for a life that is less than the one you are capable of living. Thank you very much.